Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Should Christians or Mormons participate in the Hare Krishna Holi Festival of Colors? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to help answer that question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We asked this question yesterday, and we're going to continue this thought today because this weekend there is going to be a huge celebration down in Spanish Fork, Utah, which is normally not a huge town in Utah.
No.
It's not real small, but it's not real huge. But certainly its claim to fame is the fact that it has a Hare Krishna temple located in it. And every year they have what's known as the Holi Festival. And if you were to ever watch a video of what goes on down there, you will probably notice, first off, that it's about chalk throwing. But that's not what it's all about. And that's why we raise this question. Should Christians, or even Mormons for that matter, attend something like this? Now, many Christians, many Mormons, many people would say, that's Bill and Eric just being a wet blanket and trying to, you know, take away some of our fun. No, I think we're trying to ask the question of, are you consistent in your belief system? Yesterday we asked the question, would the Apostle Paul attend something like this for the aspect of revelry and fun? I could see the Apostle Paul perhaps attending something like this to preach the gospel. And we have been down there. Aaron Shafawalaf, who works with us at MRM, was down there 1 year. I was with him. And he was preaching to the people that were there, and some people were not too appreciative of some of the things that Aaron was saying, even though he was basically pleading with those who professed to be Christians. And, you know, Mormons profess that. We might disagree on what that all means, but at least they profess that. And he was pleading with them to reconsider taking part in this type of revelry. And for doing that, he was often cussed at by the atheist who said, there is no God, which makes me laugh, then why are you even here in the first place? But he also had a lot of Mormons basically treat him with indifference. A lot of them ignored him. But you say, how do I know they were Mormons? Well, they're wearing BYU baseball caps and BYU sweatshirts. And I saw a lot of people wearing crosses around their neck. And as I mentioned yesterday, that does not necessarily mean the person that's wearing it is a Christian, but it is a Christian emblem that Christians do wear. And I'm sure there were a lot of professing Christians that were there. So today we're going to basically talk about that. Should they?
And for those who might be a little irritated because you've gone to this and you think, what the heck, why are you guys such party poopers? Well, we have an article that I wrote specifically for folks who might discount what we're going to say here yesterday and today. It's mrm.org/HareKrishna-hyphenated, H-A-R-E hyphen Krishna, K-R-I-S-H-N-A. I invite you to go to that article, and I've tried to give information that would give you a background on what this religion is about, what the Holi Festival is all about, and why I don't think Christians nor Mormons ought to participate in it. And you mentioned Paul. I mean, I don't read in Corinthians where he was telling the Corinthians, hey, you know what? You have this temple to Aphrodite. Why don't you go over there and just have a great time? Certainly in Acts chapter 17, when he's in Mars Hill in Athens, he does do what you mentioned Aaron did. He went out and preached to them. He talked to them and tried to give them rationale to what you preach is an unknown God. I'm going to preach to you. Let me tell you who he is. His name is Jesus.
I have a lot of problems with that because I cannot imagine the Apostle Paul joining in that kind of an activity or even encouraging people to join in that activity. That's why I even have a problem when you see Christians down at Temple Square during conference welcoming Mormons to their general conference. Do you realize, Christian, the heresy that is taught in general conference? Every year there is heresy being taught, and for Christians to be welcoming people into that environment, I find that very problematic.
You can be kind, but you don't have to be accommodating in such
a
way.
No, we're not talking about being abrasive or obnoxious. And even Aaron was not either abrasive or obnoxious. He was pleading with these people. And really, he was addressing most of his message to those who profess to be Christians. And of course, a lot of people didn't want to hear him. But anyway, this religion, the Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON as it's known, it was started by a guy by the name of Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. It's not an old religion, but very quickly, and I know we're burning up a lot of time here, Eric, but very quickly, for someone who did not catch yesterday's broadcast, do a recap of what is this festival really all about.
It's a festival involving Krishna, who drank breast milk that had poisoned him and gave him blue skin. And so his girlfriend, so to speak, ends up throwing some color on him that made him feel really good. So it's a springtime event. It's based on the Hindu calendar. It can be as early as February or March is typically when it's going to be. And it's a time where people will throw chalk at each other and in the air. Every hour on the hour, they'll be having singing and they'll be reciting the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is praise to Krishna. That you have to, as a devotee, they call themselves, a person who practices this, you're supposed to say that 1,728 times a day, and they're going to have you doing that as well, besides just throwing chalk. So you're going to be doing worship. Consider it to be a worship festival for Krishna.
Now, a Christian would argue, but I'm not doing that. I'm just there for the fun. But yet here they are repeating, no doubt they will be repeating this, as you said, this Maha Mantra. They will be repeating these words that certainly do have a lot of meaning to people who are devotees in this particular religion.
Exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. And in a section on that article I mentioned earlier on our website, Should Christians Participate in the Holi Festival? I asked some questions. Maybe you don't have any problems, but if you're a Christian, let me ask, do you believe those who practice this religion are going to heaven or hell? Because the Bible says there's two resurrections. You're either going to go to eternal life or you're going to go to eternal damnation. That's John 5:29. And according to the Bible, I list verses here, 1 Corinthians 6, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, Revelation 21:8. For the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. See, if you're a Christian who believes that there is such a place as hell, to go there and celebrate people who are going to hell, shame on you for even wanting to be a part of that. I have another question. If people who don't have a relationship with God and they're headed to hell, will your participation in this festival encourage their unbelief or cause them to want to seek after truth? See, I don't think most people who are Christians going to that are going to be handing out tracts inside there. I'm sure you'll get kicked out if you do that. When we've done that in the past, we're outside where they're parking their cars. We're not inside the temple grounds. So you're going in there and your participation, is somebody going to see you and go, oh, you're against what I believe in? No, you're just a party animal like they are, looking to throw chalk at each other. And think about this. Financially, this is their big financial boon for the year. 100,000 people. The admission fee is $3. That sounds pretty cheap, but 100,000 people right off the top without doing anything else, that's $300,000 that are being contributed to this cult. It really is a mind control cult. Not only that, they're selling vegetarian food at inflated prices that you'll have to, you know, if you want to eat, you'll be there long enough. You'll probably want to try some of that. And that chalk does not come free, Bill. They sell them in baggies of 3.5 ounces, and it starts at $2 a bag. If you buy more than 50, they'll lower the cost. But let's say you buy 50 bags. You're going to need 50 bags to be able to throw it up enough times in a few hours that you'll be there, because every hour they're throwing it up in the air, plus you can throw it at each other. $1.50 is what you would pay for each of the 50 bags, and that would be probably an average, what you would want to be able to take in with you. That's $75. Let's say everybody's spending $75 times 100,000. I'm not a mathematician, but that's a lot of money.
I know there's some Christians that have problems just buying Mormon books because they know the money's going to be going to the Mormon church. But they won't stay at a Marriott because it's owned by a Mormon. That's up to you. That's nothing that we're going to preach on.
This is a pagan festival. There's no doubt about it. Should you as a Christian be actively involved in pagan rites? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11 to have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. What did God do in the Old Testament with the Israelites? Did he tell them to join in with the pagan rites of the neighbors? No, he said, refrain from that. Don't participate in that. And we've already talked about Paul, who did not encourage the people to join in on any of those festivals and all the parties that they were having. They were supposed to not be involved at all. I don't think idolatry is something that we ought to encourage. And you mentioned the food yesterday. I mean, if you're going to eat any of that food, you just need to understand they offer that food to their deities. They have dolls inside the temple itself. They offer symbolically that food, and then you're going to go and eat that? I mean, that doesn't sound like something that we ought to do. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that, let me just read a few verses. Chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ," referring to communion? "And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, we all share in one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he?" Rhetorical questions, Bill. The answer is no. So why would you want to play on the devil's backyard and eat food that has been offered to demons, so to speak, even though there really aren't demons inside the food? Symbolically, it's been offered. Why would you want to do that?
I think that's a great question. And one of the things that I would hope that a professing Christian would really want in their life is consistency between what they believe and how they act. And of course, inconsistency has been one of the largest criticisms that has been leveled against professing Christians. This is certainly not an area where you need to compromise, that's for sure.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. We at Mormonism Research Ministry hope you will likewise pray for us that the word will go forth and be glorified. Pray for direction as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance as to where God wants us to focus our attention. Pray for wisdom that we might have the right words to speak to Latter-day Saints who are struggling with their faith. Pray for the physical and spiritual health of our staff and families. Pray that, as a ministry, we are able to meet the financial obligations that naturally accompanies effective ministries. Pray for opportunities to educate fellow Christians who may not feel confident when sharing their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. We hope that you will also pray for the entire body of Christ, that all of us will have a greater love for those who are lost, and that this love will give us a sense of urgency to share the message of grace that sets the captive free."